Hey, everybody, this is MC Educator, otherwise known as Margina Cohen. And I know it's been a minute, but before I can start to be consistent with these podcasts, I really wanted to make sure that I'm giving relevant and relatable information or just topics that I'm discussing. And these topics come to me just from my life experiences, things that happen, and things that I believe are important and universal for people to know. So today I wanted to make time to talk about the subject of asthma, and particularly asthma with children. I have three children, as you already know from my previous podcast, my previous episode. But my youngest child is a girl. Her name is Riley, and she is 12 years old. Riley was diagnosed with asthma when she was four. She went through a bout of pneumonia that was really bad, and she was subsequently diagnosed with asthma. So she immediately, from the time she was 4 years old, was put on steroids and a rescue inhaler, as well as albuterol vials. And what I mean by that is that she actually has a breathing machine that is called a nebulizer that she administers, that administers medicine to her that she breathes in whenever her asthma gets particularly sticky. And since she has been 4 years old, every year, like clockwork, she will be hospitalized after having experienced a bad asthma attack for a minimum of, we're talking 4 to 6 days in the hospital. And it got to the point where she dreaded it. She hated going. Even when she was really sick, she would manipulate her breathing to where I wouldn't know about it until it just got to be too bad, and she would just really have a bad asthma attack. So about, I would say about a year ago, I switched her pediatrician to another pediatrician because I just felt like her pediatrician then wasn't giving me any answers. He kept treating her, but he wasn't, in my opinion, this is my opinion, he wasn't interested in curing her. It was just kind of like, okay, we're going to let this keep going on and we'll just keep, you know, putting a Band-Aid over it, but we're never going to really figure out how to fix this wound. And I finally went to a pediatrician who, in all actuality, the pediatrician, she has asthma. And she was dead set on finding a cure and helping to cure Riley's asthma, which initially I was really excited about. But here's where the red flag came into play. Riley has always wanted to play sports, and doctors have always told me, no, she cannot play sports. She is too sick. She will suffer from an asthma attack. You know, she will potentially die, you know, from all the overexertion of activity. You know, no, she cannot play sports. And that registered with me, because who wants to do anything where that puts their child's life in danger and that could be potentially fatal, right? So when I went to this pediatrician, she told me the same thing. She said, oh no, absolutely not. She cannot play sports. She has asthma. She will not be able to play sports. She can't do anything that's physical, that's overly physical. Well, I know that I'm not the smartest person on the planet. However, medicine, ladies and gentlemen, is not rocket science. Your body is essentially a machine, and your body operates like a machine. And a lot of us are under the assumption that some of the diseases or some of the ailments that we acquire or that we have are due to genetics and they're hereditary. That it's just something, you know, my mama had it, my grandmother had it, I should have it. And that's kind of how I was operating with Riley, because I had a brief time in my life when I was younger where I had asthma, but I grew out of it. My older brother as well. even though his was more severe than mine's was. And I honestly just thought that, oh, okay, well, this is just something that comes with, you know, being a kid of mine. However, I started to do research, and I'm saying that because you have to be able to think for yourself. And it did not make sense to me that the certified medical professionals were telling me that my child would not be able to participate in any type of physical activity due to the fact that her respiratory system wouldn't be able to handle it. However, I also know that that only gets worse when you're when you sit still all the time, and when you're not playing, and when you're not being physical, when you're not exercising. So I knew that that was contradictory, and I didn't contradict the doctor right there to her face, but I just kind of checked it in the back of my mind, like, okay, you need to check on that. You need to do your own homework and figure out what's going on. And what happened was that I remembered the last time Riley was in the hospital, which was 2016, I believe. She was actually admitted to the hospital after a particularly bad asthma attack, and she was admitted to the ICU. And that really scared the mess out of me, because she had a huge mask over her face that covered both her nose and her mouth simultaneously. She was scared. She was angry because she had to stay in the hospital again. I was scared because no one ever wants to see their child in a bed with, you know, with tubes coming out of them. And, you know, she was hangry because she couldn't eat. She couldn't eat anything. And that went on for about 2 days because she had to receive continuous breathing treatments overnight. So it was like 48 hours she had to receive continuous breathing treatments. During this time, a pneumologist, aka a lung doctor, came in and talked to me, and he said, well, just looking at her x-rays and her tests, he was just like, what's happening is that there is a accumulation of mucus around her esophagus, right? So, and it's causing her airway to narrow, and that's where the asthma attacks are coming from. And I said, well, what's causing the accumulation of mucus? Oh, she probably just has a bad cold. Well, you know, it's the change of weather, which, you know, in all honesty, these hospitalizations came like clockwork whenever the weather changed. So like from summer to fall was a bad time for us, and from winter to spring was a really bad time for us. So I initially took that that medical advice as, you know, being golden. Okay, well, it's the change of weather. I just really need to watch her around, you know, those times of the year. However, what I also found out was that dairy products feed mucus and cause it to accumulate. So, and I found all this out after changing my own diet. I do about 85% whole food, plant-based diet. I am not a vegan. I am not seeking to be a vegan, but most of the times, and especially like during the week, I don't eat meat. I don't eat it for breakfast. I don't eat it every day, and I don't eat it for every meal. So when you're on that journey, it causes you to research other things. Okay, how else can, because when you start watching what you put in your mouth, your body does change. It responds to that. So I said, okay, well, what else is going on with me that I need to respond appropriately with food, with the food that I'm putting in my body? But then I started looking into my children, and Riley is the only one of my children that that had this problem with the asthma. So anyway, to make a long story short, I started looking into how we could eliminate the asthma, and essentially it was dairy products. It was milk, it was cheese, it was dairy, anything that was dairy, eggs. And slowly, and not even slowly, I just quit buying it. Like I will not buy cow's milk. I will not buy cheese. We buy vegan cheese every now and then. I'm not really a fan of it because there's a lot of chemicals in it. And we don't buy eggs. We don't eat eggs. And my daughter plays volleyball, and she just made the track team at her school. And of course, I'm still kind of nervous because when I pick her up from these practices or I see her playing, I'm like, "Are you okay?" And she's just like, "I'm fine. I'm good." And as you guys know, if you live in Michigan, the weather has been stupid for the past. We've had winter for about, I swear, like 9 months. And she has been just fine. And the reason why I wanted to make a podcast about this is because I work in education, and one of my roles in my current position, I work as a consultant for Detroit Public Schools. And one of my roles, I look at a lot of data, a whole lot of data every day. And one day, I guess like 2 weeks ago, I was looking at some charts and I was looking at some information. I was looking at student information. And one of the things that I just found amazing was that there were about out of 500 kids, about 60 kids, which is a little bit over 10%, have asthma. And I'm like, wow, like this is like super prevalent. Like, you know, and I knew then, I was just like, this just further confirms what I already know. This isn't hereditary. This is what we're putting into our bodies. This is what's happening. And I just want to encourage other parents, if you are dealing with asthma yourself, if you have a child that's dealing with asthma, by no means, and I probably should have did this disclaimer at the start of the podcast, and should this be a substitute for medical advice? I am just giving you what my experience was and how we came to a cure. What I'm encouraging you is to, number one, think, and to, number two, do your own research. There is obviously a connection between the physicians that we go see and pharmaceutical drugs. Their job is to continue to treat us. It is not, there's no money being made when they cure us. So if they're not going to do it, then it's up to us. And ladies and gentlemen, with the plethora of information that is available to us through libraries, through the internet, through medical books that you can just purchase on Amazon, it just takes a little bit of time for us to read and research and find out what's going on. And I don't wish for anyone, I don't know if anybody that's listening has ever had a child in the hospital or has ever had a child that has been chronically sick. That is not fun. And not only is it not fun, it is very, very, very expensive. I can recall a doctor, a pneumologist, prescribing Riley a steroid inhaler that was not covered by insurance. And that inhaler was $400. $400. And what I was concerned about was the amount of steroids they were giving her. I'm like, good gosh, she's a little girl. And I was really worried about her reproductive system because I'm just like, good Lord, you know, I don't need my grandchildren coming out with the ear on their forehead because they mom have been taking steroids for, you know, 20 years of her life. I just knew that that wasn't right. I knew that there was something wrong with that. So mamas, daddies, there is nothing wrong with you trusting your gut instinct about your kids. These are your children. And if they are your children, it is your responsibility to do the best by them. And that's all I really want you to do. Let's talk about it, and I'll see you later.